If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to begin by finding the book of Matthew. I'd like you to find the 28th chapter. Actually, if you want to use your bulletin for that text, you can. If you wanted to find Matthew chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 14, those would be two good places to put to hold your finger in. Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 14. Inside the bulletin, I did put the message title in the outline today. If you want to make some notes accordingly, I believe it would help you even for your own personal study. Preaching a message this morning entitled, Understanding New Testament Local Church Missions. Understanding New Testament Local Church Missions. I appreciate the title of the message because I do want for there to be understanding. And I want you to not only understand missions with your brain, but I want you to love it with your heart. And I want you to understand New Testament missions. I do believe today that in our culture, in our world, we are quickly moving away from what would be described as New Testament local church missions. I want you to understand the word local church. Our Bible is a local church Bible. Jesus died for the church. Jesus set up the local New Testament church. We are local church people, and God's people said, right? And I want us to understand missions. And so, Lord willing, I'll be able to communicate these in a way that God will use them to in our heart, use them in our understanding, and use them for His glory. Pastor, what is missions? What is missions? If you look at Matthew chapter 28 and you look at verse number 18, I believe we will find here, as in other verses, the definition of what New Testament local church missions to be. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that word power is authority. All authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What is missions? Missions is the going into all the world and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you wanted to confirm that, Mark wrote it this way. And just listen, I'll read what he said. He said, in his account of what Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. What is New Testament local church missions? It is, my friend, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Now, understand this. Jesus is a humanitarian. He does care about the needs of humanity. Jesus did feed the poor. He did heal the sick. He did good deeds within communities. He did set up some humanitarian efforts. Humanitarianism is going to be involved in missions, but humanitarianism is not the definition of missions. What we believe to be and what God believes to be and what the Bible does believe to be is missions is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you eliminate the preaching of the gospel, I don't care how much humanitarian effort you have, it's not Bible missions. Even within our independent fundamental Baptist movement, we are starting to see shifting take place. What are you going to do, sir? We're going to set up feeding centers, okay? We're going to set up orphanages, okay? We're going to set up small business opportunities. Okay. I understand all that, not saying that none of that is important, not saying that that cannot be used. But what I really want to hear from our missionary is the number one thing we're going to do is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, teach people whatsoever things God has commanded, set up local New Testament Baptist churches, and begin to minister that way. And yes, there will be orphanages, and yes, there will be humanitarian, yes, there will be feeding centers, but that comes not at the same idea or elevation as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, somebody says you have to feed them to teach them. I understand. But the goal is to preach to them and feed them the bread of life whose name is Jesus Christ. We need to understand that. You will not find the word mission or missionaries in the Bible. But you do find missions and missionaries in the Bible. So when we're talking about a local New Testament church idea of missions, we are talking first off of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 13. I want to read you a passage of scripture there to give you an idea when we say of missionaries, what we mean. And I understand that we have so many people in our community, we are not like the traditional Baptist church. The traditional Baptist church up in the hills of wherever, they don't have the influence in the new people constantly coming the way that we do. They don't have people coming into churches and leaving and new people coming in. They don't live in that kind of culture. But we have all kinds of new people, and this may be the very first time you ever heard about missions or missionaries. We find missionaries in Acts chapter 13. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have," what's that word, class? "Called them." Who called them? God called them. It's very important that you understand when it comes to a true missionary. A true missionary is somebody that is called by God. Not called by mama. Not called by glory. Not called by an idea. Not called because it's in the family heritage. Many a man has been destroyed, and many a work has been hindered, and many a church has been affected by somebody who's called themselves to be a missionary, but they were never called by God to this specific office of being a missionary. Paul and Barnabas have been called. Look at verse number 3. "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they," what's the next word? "Sent." So you got the word called in verse 2. You got the word sent in verse number 3. Who sent them? The church did. So God called them, Saul and Barnabas, and the church sent them. Now I'm going to show you in a minute where all of us have the responsibility to be missionaries. But there is a unique and special and wonderful calling that God puts upon a man or a woman that is a calling of separation out from among the church and sent abroad for a specific purpose. If you have your Bible, go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I want to show you in 1 Corinthians what the Apostle Paul said was the purpose that Christ gave him when he called him out of that church and when he sent him out of that church. And we find the purpose enunciated in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And if you look at verse number 17, in verse number 17, the Bible, Paul's writing here, and he says, "For Christ sent me not." So he's acknowledging that Christ sent him. He's telling you what he sent him not to do and what he told him to do. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to," what's that word, class? "Preach the gospel." So the Apostle Paul said, God called me, The church sent me out in recognition of that call, and Christ called and enabled me to be sent to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is New Testament local church missions? It is a man or a woman called by God with a specific calling, sent out away from the church to a land wherever God puts him in to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That is true biblical missions. And God's people would say amen to that. One of the reasons I believe that God is blessing Plantation Baptist Church is because we have submitted ourselves to the understanding of what biblical missions is supposed to be. And we have not, in the 50-some years of our heritage, 51 that we're going to celebrate being chartered, we're probably 56 years old, we have never deviated from what the Bible has defined as true biblical missions. I would submit to you this. There is a handful of things that I believe that if we ever deviated from as a church, that God would pull his hand of blessing off of us. And I do believe that biblical missions is one of them. I do believe if we step away from the leadership of the Spirit of God, then all the blessing that we are experiencing will vanish away. Because when you read the Bible, the heartbeat of God is missions. And so if we are his church, and we are, then we are to have his heartbeat. And that is to be missions. Now, when you go into our hallways, you're going to see boards, and you're going to see pictures of missionaries, and you're going to see letters, and you're going to see what I really do believe to be one of the main vital necessities of our church. And praise God for the foundation that we have there. Now, here's what I am afraid of. I am afraid that we are becoming a dying breed. I don't think we're the only one, like Elijah thought. But I do believe that in our day and in our culture, the church is being shifted away from the biblical direction of missions. And because of that, I believe that we are adopting a philosophy that is lessening the furtherance of the light of the gospel. It's lessening the effect that we are having. And really and truthfully, churches today are not making much difference when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to make a difference. I want our church to make a difference. I was going to say I want us to be different, but we're weird enough. So we'll just be who we are. I find in the book of Matthew, in chapter 14, in chapter number 9, a mindset or a direction here that I believe that I do not want our church to fall into. In Matthew chapter 14, and you come down to verse number 15, Jesus is getting ready here to feed the 5,000. And in the preparation of feeding the 5,000, I believe we're going to find some information here in truth that we need to understand so that we're not found to be guilty of the same thing. The Bible says, and when it was evening, in verse 15 of chapter 14, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitude away." You ought to circle that word send. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." Verse 19. And he commanded the multitude to, what's the next word? Sit. Circle the word sit. In verse number 15, the disciples' mentality is send them away. Jesus says, sit them down. Send them away. Tell them to sit down. And I have a desire today to protect Plantation Baptist Church from this mentality. I do not want us, when it comes today, to have the mentality to send the multitudes away, to be bothered by them. When it comes to world missions, I don't want our church to be separated from it. I don't want it to be pushed out of our mind. I don't want it to be pushed out of our home, out of our heart, out of our wallet, out of our prayers, out of our conversation, out of our reading. The disciples said, get them out of here. Jesus said, sit them down. We ought to be comfortable sitting amongst the idea and biblical direction of worldwide missions. Amen, church? Now, go if you would to verse number 9. Chapter number 9. Here's a difference, I believe, in the mentality of the disciples and the Lord Jesus. In chapter number 9, if you look at verse number 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with, what's that word? Compassion on them. Because they fainted, were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. You know, if there was one thing the disciples lacked, it was compassion. That word compassion is the word mercy. Jesus had the ability to look at people and be compassionate. He had the ability to look at people and be merciful. The disciples, they looked at people as a nuisance and as a problem. And there wasn't any compassion. And the importance of compassion is told us in Jude, verse number 22. The Bible says this, and of some having compassion, making a what class? A difference. You don't know that verse? Go to Jude 22. Let's go. The last book right before Revelation. A little book, 20, just a few verses in there. Come on now. This is a little bit more like a lecture class, a little bit more like college for you. Pastor, I hated college. Well, you didn't have as good a professor as you do today. Look at where verse number 22. The Bible says, and Jude, and of some having compassion, making a difference. When's the last time you made a difference in somebody's life? When's the last time you made a difference in somebody's life? I guarantee you this. You will never make a difference without compassion. It is impossible to make a difference without compassion. The disciples lacked compassion. Therefore, send them away. Jesus, full of compassion, tell them to sit down. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that our churches are becoming corporations today and not being churches. If we have learned anything from society, if we learn anything from the bank failures, if we have learned anything in the last 8 or 10 years in our country, we have learned that if there's one thing corporations lack, it's compassion. So if you're going to be a church that is going to organize yourself to be a corporation, then you're going to be a church that lacks compassion. And if you're going to be a church that lacks compassion, you're going to be a church that lacks making a difference. Pastor, what keeps a church from organizing itself like a corporation? The Holy Word of God. But we've got churches today that are not preaching the book, not believing the book, not teaching the book, not organizing themselves around the book, not praying the book, not practicing the book, and they're reading other men's books, and these other men are teaching our young preacher boys, which I would be one, amen, young preacher boy, you ought to say amen to that for your pastor, and they're teaching us this, forget about most of the New Testament. Concentrate on the Sermon on the Mount. Teach your people what it is to be a follower. Now, don't get down in there like a shepherd with the sheep. That's old-fashioned. Kind of structure your church now like a corporation. Get you a chart and put yourself up here and begin to organize and begin to what do you call, delegate and begin to do those kind of things. And let that thing be structured like a business. After all, the church is supposed to be above reproach and it should operate like a business. Let me tell you something. The church shouldn't operate like a business. The church ought to operate under the leadership of the Spirit of God according to the Word of God. So we got all these churches that are corporate mindset. No compassion. And what's the number one thing a corporation wants to do? Make money. Make money. Now let me tell you something. There's money in churches. I have my bulletin open. And so in our church, we put the offering in there. And so last week, the offering was $25,575. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't make $25,000 last week. If you did, I'm going to check your giving to make sure you're tithing. We're over $1 million. $1 million. So the average church that wants to structure itself like a corporation, you know what they want to do with $1 million? They want to have a $10 million building. Nothing wrong with having a nice building. They want to take this money and they want to kind of invest it in infrastructure. And so they want to have all these kind of things, and you can only imagine. And so you have churches now with this corporate mindset. And what they've done is their vision has not gone out into a lost and dying world. Their vision has begun to surround themselves. And so now they're fleecing and receiving from God's people the offering that belongs to God and should be going to missions, keeping that in a corporate mindset, stabilizing themselves so their books look good and buildings look good, and they're financially secure, and we have lost our compassion for a lost and dying world. I refuse to let that happen in Plantation Baptist Church. I say, let's close the doors down and do something else. Missions must be our heartbeat. Has to be. It's what God commanded us to do. Well, Pastor, and Pastor Jay, I sure appreciated his prayer. Pastor, people don't want to be saved today anymore. Well, you know what? Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 9 and look at verse number 37. Verse 37, the Bible says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the," what's that word? "Laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." The problem isn't that people don't want to be saved today, my friend. The problem is the church doesn't want to be sent. Problem isn't that people don't want to be saved. If you say that, Pastor, nobody wants to be saved, you have to say your word goes against Jesus' word. Because Jesus said, the harvest is truly plenteous. But it's the laborers that are few. So the devil's got, he's got our churches in this corporate mindset. And so if there's one thing that the corporation is never, it's guilty. No, it's not the corporation that's the problem. It's the community, it's this, it's that. The corporation mindset, the corporation's never guilty. We never mistreat anybody. We do everything right. It has to be something else. And so what they do is they look for somebody to be something called a scapegoat or somebody to take that. And so they eliminate that. But the corporation can never be guilty. And the reason that our world has not reached for Jesus Christ is not because people don't want to be saved. It's because the church is being guilty of not wanting to be sent. That's a true statement. So then I follow up with this. Did God ever call you to full-time missions? Did God ever touch your heart as a little boy, little girl? Did you ever get on your knees one day and say, "Now, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to be a missionary"? Did you ever go home and tell your mom, "Hey, I want to be a missionary"? And now you're 40, 50, 60 years old, and you're not a missionary, and now you're this. What happened? What happened? What happened is we didn't want to be sent. I know, I'm right on that. You don't have to amen. Your white face is, even the people that are black and blue and red and yellow are now white. Blood's gone out of your face. Don't tell us that. Until Jesus comes, the harvest is truly plenteous. If you believe that, say amen. So we need to look at some things here about missions. Number one, we need to understand how to look at the multitude, how the multitude is seen. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 14, look if you would in verse number 15. We're going to flip back and forth. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 15, Here's what the disciples said. They said when it was even time, and the disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, the time is now past, send the multitude away. They saw the multitude as a problem and as a distraction. They saw them in it from a selfish viewpoint that these people are bothering us. You know, I find that even today in our good Bible-believing churches that Christian people are bothered by the unsaved person. We look at them as being dirty. We look at them as being filthy. We look at them with a little bit down our nose. We don't like to be in their presence pretty much. We're kind of offended by the grossness of them. I got news for you. Apart from the grace of God, we used to be them. It's amazing how the church doesn't really want to rub shoulders with the world. And I'm not saying being a friend as far as an unequally yoked here. I'm just saying that it's like we build our lives now with this holy little white picket fence, and we never step outside that white picket fence to ever be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We see them distracted. I'll go as far as to say this. Go, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, look, if you would, at verse number 36. I think verse 36 presents to us the problem the church has today. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, speaking of Jesus, because they were fainted and they were scattered abroad as what class? Sheep. As sheep, having no shepherd. I want to read you a verse, and then I just want you to help me fill in the gaps here. This is helping us understand New Testament local church missions, so we don't get deceived here. Let me read you a verse. Isaiah chapter 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now here we go. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here's a problem. Because churches have been shifted now to corporations, because we have a corporate mindset as a church, we look at people from a corporate perspective. And anymore, churches are looking at people for what do they have to offer us. They're opportunist. But if a church is founded upon the Word of God, and if a church is following the leadership of the Spirit of God, and if a church is truly built upon God's Word, then that church is going to see people with a biblical viewpoint. A biblical viewpoint, not a corporate viewpoint, but a biblical viewpoint. The disciples looked at them and said, they're bothering us, send them away. Jesus looked at them and saw them as sheep. He saw them in reference to Isaiah 53. He saw them in reference to lost. He saw them in reference as to turned under their own iniquity. He saw them as needing a shepherd. He saw them as in trouble. He saw them as needing to be saved. And he was moved with compassion. And the disciples, they just saw him in this selfish mindset. One of the dangers that has happened when you stop preaching the Word of God and you start preaching opinion or books or a different direction, what's happened in our country, we lose biblical perspective. And the biblical perspective is all men are born sinners and they need Jesus Christ. So you've got churches now that don't see people the way the Bible sees them. Let me tell you something. Here's how the Bible sees a person. And I'll read this to you. The Bible sees a person this way. But he that believeth on him, that's Jesus, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. How does the Bible see the world? The Bible sees the world as a man born in sin, as a man going to suffer the wage of that sin. And he sees a person in condemnation. If you have never been born again, you sit here today condemned. Don't you dare judge me, Pastor. I would never dare judge you. Don't let this church judge me. This church would never judge you. The Bible has declared that all men were born sinners. Amen, church? Now, understanding, when the church sees that men or women are condemned, they're lost, they're on their way to hell, they're in trouble, they're good as far as they're neighborly, they're gracious as far as they can be kind, they've got wonderful homes and families, and we respond in some ways, and we see them with their cars and their boats, and we see them in their affluency, and we see them with smiles on their face, and we see them with their recreation throughout, but my friend, they need to be saved. And we don't look at them that way. By the way, when God saw humanity in condemnation, it moved him so much that he sent Jesus Christ into the world. Not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let me tell you, missions came into his heart. He saw humanity lost and he wanted to reach out. And the best way he could do was he sent the Lord Jesus Christ. We see people and we see them as unsaved and we think, you're going to get what you deserve, buddy. Well, let me tell you something. You and I deserve the same thing. But hallelujah for the grace of God. I never had to fight up the corporate ladder. If you've ever, do you know what those words mean, corporate ladder? Raise your hand if you know what those words mean. We don't have a corporate ladder around here. Either you do what I say or I'll kill you. It helps without the ladder. But some of you have jobs where you have labored all your life to get up that corporate ladder. Yes! I'm at the corporate ladder. And when you're making your way up the corporate ladder, people are just tools to you. They're just opportunity. Step on that one if you have to. Oh, I need to boost this one. So a couple rings up. Step on them and get up. And I am afraid that in our so-called Bible churches, we're looking at a lost and dying world as a corporate ladder. And we're just using people. So we'll bring them all in and say, we've got 1,000 people in church today, but we won't dare preach the gospel to them because 999 of them would leave. But oh, I got myself a corporate ladder now, and I'm going up here. Listen, give me 2 people that love the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said he would be in our presence. As far as I'm concerned, that's the kind of church I want to belong to. So we got to see people the way God sees them. The multitude lost. So how do you see people? Then he goes on, and we need to understand their need. Chapter 9, verse 36 says they needed a shepherd. Chapter 14, verses 15 and 16, they needed the bread of life. Both of that is that the multitude needs salvation. All people need the gospel. And the Lord has chosen the church to be the vehicle that takes the gospel to a lost and dying world. Now, according to Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, you, if I could call your name, I would call it. And I basically know everybody's name in this room. Maybe 2 of you, I don't know your name. But you are responsible to preach the gospel and take the gospel from your home to the uttermost part of the earth. The lost and dying world is our problem. Now, it's not necessarily our problem. It's our blessing to be able to be a witness for Christ. So when Jesus looks at your home, he's interested in how the gospel is going. And I'll use the Hansons because they're over here. How the gospel is going from the Hanson home, not handsome, Hanson. She's beautiful, but he lacks a little bit. Hanson home all the way to the uttermost part of the earth. When God comes to the Yactor home, he wants to know how is the gospel going from the Yactor home all the way to the uttermost part of the earth. When he comes to the Fakes home, how is the gospel going from the Fakes home all the way to the uttermost part of the earth. When he looks back there in the back at the Churchill and the Canton and Brother Jim Hamilton's, how is it going from their home all the way to the end of the earth? Let me tell you something. We have a God-given mandate to make sure that the gospel is going from our home around the world. So what are you doing? But Pastor, that's impossible. No, it's not. God gave the church missions. So for some of us, he's come in and said, I'm calling you, church, send them. They're going to take it. All of us, he's saying, listen, you pray for that going around the world. All of us are to be missionaries in our home. And then we give. We give money to send those around the world. And God has set up, and I'll be preaching it to you, a plan and a program and a direction where a church is able to stand one day before Jesus and say, from 11700 Northwest 28th Court, Plantation, Florida, 33323, the gospel went from here to the uttermost part of the earth. Well done, Plantation Baptist. I want to hear that. So what are we doing? We do missions. There is an urgency, church. There's an urgency. Look what they said in chapter 14 and verse number 15. The disciples said, it's a desert place. It's not convenient. And the time is now past. Jesus, we can't sit these people down and feed them. It won't work. It's a desert place. It's not convenient. And by the way, the time is now past. Nobody wants to stay here. Nobody wants to be saved. Nobody wants to do these things. Nobody wants this in there. It's just not time right now. And Jesus said, you don't understand time. Now, I can take you to John chapter 4, after he's done with the woman at the well, and he's sitting there, and they come, and they're all anxious about what he's doing. He says, say not that there's 4 months to harvest. What's he trying to do? He's trying to say, now is the time. Now there's an urgency. Let me tell you something. Jesus wants as many people to be saved as possible. He wants all men to be saved. And he understands that there is a promise that he is coming again. He understands that there is a promise of how that world is going to shape up. There is a direction. I just finished reading the book of Revelation. I'm studying it to preach through it. And I mean, I read about all the events and the seals and the signs and the judgments and all that. It's all coming. And it is not where God wants any man to go to hell. It is the will of God that all men be saved. And so he is sending the church. And there's this urgency in Jesus. I mean, this intensity in him. And the whole time the church is just, I don't know. Maybe we'll do that, or maybe we won't. I don't know. It's a desert place in my life right now, Pastor. We got a lot of things going on. Not a lot of extra money. Not a lot of extra time. And you know, I used to try that, and the time's now past, man. I mean, the churches are a dying breed. We got to do something different. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. So you look at your life when it comes to missions. Are you telling me that you're identifying with the disciples and saying, Jesus, I'm in a desert place right now. And nah, the time's not past. There's no urgency. No urgency. How do I reflect, Pastor, that I believe in an urgency? Well, number one, if God's called you, it's time to go to the field. If God's called you, it's time to go. Number two, how much are we witnessing Christ where we are? Who have we told? Who in the world did you tell today or last week about the Lord? What kind of urgency was there? How did we pray? If I was to have you take out your offering envelope, which we just collected, and look at it, was there anything checked for world missions? Oh, Pastor, I tithe. Okay, great. But did you give anything to missions? What does all that mean? That's all showing that I understand the urgency of the hour. By the way, Jesus could come back at any moment. I don't have time to preach understanding the priorities. I'll get that a little bit later. But I will say this. If you read John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus is there and He sent the disciples. They're hungry. I know those disciples were Baptists, man. They were always hungry. Those guys ate constantly, man. So they come to Samaria. There's this well there. And Jesus is sitting on the well. And the woman at the well is coming to, and she's lost. And she's hurt real bad by sin. And the disciples go to get food. In the midst of that, Jesus wins this lady to himself. And when the disciples come back, they say, "Master, eat." And Jesus says, I got food to eat that you don't know of. He's enjoying, he's worshiping, he's celebrating, he's blessed by this woman that has come to faith in Christ. And in the midst of that, his eyes look up. And he sees all those people out there. And he sees them like a sheep not having any shepherd. His heart is broken and compassion is moving upon him. And he looks over to the disciples. And they're eating as fast as they can. As fast as they can. And Jesus has to, and he's trying to tell them about what's going on. And they're saying, "It's not time, it's not this. Eat, man, eat, it's good, eat." And finally, Jesus looks at him and he says, "Lift up your eyes." Why? Because their eyes are like this. And Jesus says, "Look up, buddy. There's a whole world that needs the gospel." Now, here's the problem. Here's the application. In our churches today, I believe that if we're not careful, we will bury our head in materialism, in physical needs, and be consumed with ourselves. And the whole multitude is out there and it needs Jesus Christ. Let that not happen at Plantation Baptist Church. That's missions, man. Now listen, it doesn't take a lot to understand that we have a unique blessing in our church. But the same blessing you can have in your church is the same blessing that ought to be in your home. And there's a lot of important things in your home. But on that top list of important things ought to be New Testament, local church missions. That ought to be a priority in your life. It ought to be moving in our lives because people need the Lord. So I want to ask you a question. How are you involved? Oh, man, Pastor, where do I begin? You begin inside your local church. What does that mean? Well, that means this. Number one, you're involved in the missions aspects of our church, both here in our city and around the world. Number two, if God's called you, you need to go from our church, sent from our church, sent under the authority of our church, sent with the prayers of our church. Go being missionaries called by God, representing Plantation Baptist Church. Number three, you need to be involved in praying for our missions. Number four, we ought to be reading the letters, being involved in the lives of the missionaries. Number five, we ought to be giving the faith promise, giving the money so the missionaries can go. It takes money to do ministry. Let's just be real clear about something. Our church is not a bank. No church ought to be a bank. Just give you a little testimony here. Up to this date, $135,920 has come in for Faith Promise Missions. If you were to go to the books back there and you were to look at our missions account, there's probably $10,000 in our missions account. Pastor, we took in $135,900. Why do we only have $10,000? Because we're not a bank. We're investing it in the kingdom of God. We're not a bank. So we give money so missionaries can go. And we give money based on the promise of God that God will be no man's debtor. And we participate. Listen, you need to examine your life for where missions fits. New Testament, local church missions. I'm excited for what God's going to do in us. I'm excited for who God's calling. I wonder if I'm looking at somebody God's calling for missions. I know because that person's probably doing this right now. That was me at one time. Sunken down. Pastor, I'm old. I can't be a missionary. That is a lie. some of the best missionaries are old missionaries. Pastor, I make so much money, I could never walk away from my job. Go out here and I'll introduce you to the people hanging on the wall here. They walked away from great jobs. It's not that you're walking away from a great job. You're being called to a greater. It's not that you're walking. You're telling me that just because your job gives you money, it's great? I have a great job, Pastor. People tell me that all the time. Oh, I have a great job. Great job, really? What makes it great? Oh, it's a good salary. Okay. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to die. That money's going to be given to your kids, and they're going to squander it on video games. It's the world we live in. Why would we not? Listen, if God's calling you to missions, He's not calling you away from a great job. He's calling you to a great calling. It's time we get some biblical perspective here. Pastor, are you angry with us? Nope. Love you. We are way far ahead of most of the churches. Way far ahead. But all it takes is just a little shift. They used to teach us in math class that if that line graph was just a little bit off at the beginning, when you get down the path, there was a greater distance. Pastor, you had math? Shut up. I did. You have a little bit? So if our church just turns a little bit, then one day I may not be your pastor. I'm not here forever. If you think I'm here forever, you're not God. I want to be here forever. God could call me tomorrow. Could kill me. I could die today. We could go in the rapture. He could say, Tom, leave here and go to, I don't want to mention a place. He may send me there. So we need to make sure we're doing what God's calling us to do now. Understanding. New Testament. Local church missions. And God's people said, let's pray.